It's good to see everyone. Thank you for coming. We welcome our visitors today. If you're visiting in online or here in person or out in the parking area, we thank you for coming. Communion Sunday is always a special time when we honor the Lord and just look to Him by faith for what He's done for us. Thank you for participating with us this morning. I'm going to be in the 8th Psalm this morning. The scriptures will be on the screen, and I appreciate Kristen or Jim, whoever's running that this morning, doing that for us. I'm going to be in the 8th Psalm. And I just want to take a moment and welcome John and Arlene. And God bless you. And we've shared with the prayer team. I can share. Is that okay? Arlene's bone marrow test came back, and they found no cancer cells at all in her. Praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord for the doctors and nurses and the procedures and God's hand, and thank you for your continued prayers. But we're rejoicing with you, John and Arlene. Amen. The goodness of the Lord. Psalms 8. Beginning at verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And this is the title of my message this morning. What is man? What is man? Or mankind, another version says, or human beings, is what it's referring to. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? It's what Jesus did when he came to die on the cross. He visited us and became God on earth, the God-man. Verse 5, for you have made mankind, him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How many would agree with that verse? Amen. How excellent is your name in all the earth. What is man? I was thinking of this the other day. What is man that you are mindful of him? This passage came to my mind. It's quoted a couple of times in other passages in the New Testament. It's a good question. What is man? Who are we? Who are you? There seems to be some confusion in our day. Who am I really? Do I have purpose? Do I have meaning? Well, I'm here to say this morning that you are a creation of Almighty God. You were not an accident. You may have heard that story. Your parents may have jokingly said, yeah, you were just an accident. But believe me, you weren't. Your life had meaning and had purpose, and it still does today. Amen? What is man? What is man? What is mankind, or human beings? Are we just kind of an accident of molecules that ended up on this planet that just happens to be the third rock from the sun and everything is perfect for life? Are we just an accident of evolution? We're just kind of the highest in the chain? No. We have a purpose for being on this planet. What is man? Are we just a parasite on the earth that is worthy of extermination? No, it's not who we are. What is man? What is man? From the lowliest man to the highest man, to the lowliest woman to the loftiest woman, to the youngest to the oldest, the psalmist says, what is mankind? What is your purpose? What is your reason for being here? The scripture says, verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we, Lord? What are we? We're nothing special. That you are mindful, the God of the universe, the God who spoke this world into existence. Verse 3, I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What am I that you are even thinking about me? I'm nothing. I'm just one of what, over 6 billion people down here. I'm just one of billions who've existed through time. Who am I that you would even think about me? Think about me to come and die for me on the cross? And shed your blood for me? Who am I? My neighbors don't even like me. That's not me, but this, maybe my neighbors like me. But maybe you could say, my neighbors don't even like me. My co-workers can't stand me. And my relatives, they wish I didn't even share the same name. Who am I that you're even mindful of me, but that you would go to the cross and die for me? And I have heard, and you have heard, and I have said it, and you've said it, that if you were the only person left on this planet, Jesus still would have came and died just for you. Who am I? The psalmist says. Who is man? Mankind. We were created, the Bible says in verse 5, a little lower than the angels. So we're not angels. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not an angel. And you can say back, you're not a kitten. And neither are you. We are not angels. We were made a little lower than the angels. Now, the angels were created by God. And originally, we won't have time to go into it, but they were created with a choice. And a third of the angels chose to follow Satan when he was cast out of heaven. But after that time, the angels have no more choice. They are at God's bidding. They are his messengers. But we're not angels in the sense of angelic beings or that good. You know, the old expression is, oh, what an angel. And then they turn to. What an angel. No, we're not angels. We've made a little lower than the angel. That doesn't mean that we're inferior or anything like that. We're just lower than the angels. The angels have their place. We have ours. But you have also crowned him with glory and honor, verse 5. You've made him to have dominion over the animal world. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. Very beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. Hear these words from the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings that when it is the law of first mention. Some of you know in your Bible study, the law of first mentions means that something when it's first mentioned carries great importance and will carry through the scriptures. And so this is. It says, then God said, verse 26, Genesis 1, then God said, man didn't say, the angels didn't say, God said, let us make man in our image, or mankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27 is one of the most important verses in Genesis as the law first mentioned. And it carries true throughout the rest of Scripture. It will never deviate from this law first mentioned. So God created man, or mankind, if you will, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female. He did that for the animals. He did that for us. Then God blessed them, the male and the female. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so the writer of Psalms 8 knew that. He knew what God had established in the beginning. that we were created in the image of God. Not angels, but we're not animals either. I resent it when I hear, and hear it a lot in school, that man is just an animal like any other animals. No, I'm sorry, we are not animals. We're to have dominion over animals. We're to take care of them. We're to nurture them. We're to take care of the earth. I believe in that. I believe in taking care of creation. I believe that's our responsibility. I don't believe it is to the point where we're seeing today where it's absurd, but we're to take care of it. But we are not animals. You are not an animal. An animal is different. And I know there's the question, you know, did my dog go to heaven? Did my cat go to heaven? Did my goldfish go to heaven? I have my own feelings about that. You can talk to me later if you'd like to. There's some scriptures that kind of support both ways. All I know is our goldfish went to the great... Long story. Finding Nemo. But we are not animals. Here's the thing. Sometimes mankind acts like animals. Sometimes they act like animals. We hear that expression. They were like an animal. Like a fierce animal. And mankind is capable of that. We are capable of lowering ourselves to the point where we act like animals, fierce animals, terrible animals that just want to devour and destroy. Mankind is capable of that, but that doesn't mean they're animals. They may act like it. And we're not angels, though sometimes we try to act like we are. Doo-doo. Shine up the halo. Got to go to church. Got to make everyone think, I am an angel. Guess what? We know differently. Because the Lord has shown me in the Spirit what you do in your pride. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't. So we have to understand that mankind was created in the image of God. We carry the image of God with us. There's a whole discussion about what that might mean. But my friend, we have a soul. And we have a spirit. And we have a body. And it's important to God. And it's not angelic, but it's not animal. It is a human being. And the psalmist says, what is man? It's not an angel, not an animal, that you are mindful of him. That you would even come and visit him. We're not even worthy of a visit. God created us in his image, male and female. And we've been given dominion over the earth and creation. And I, for one, want to say thank you, God, for making me a man, a male. And I am so grateful God made Cheryl a female. And oftentimes I have said to the Lord, thank you for not making me a woman. Not in the sense of the old Jewish scholars who used to say, thank you, that God, that you didn't make me, I don't know the quote exactly, but it was something like, thank you, you didn't make me a Gentile, a dog, or a woman. And I don't mean in that respect. I mean in the fact, I couldn't do what women do. I couldn't handle what Cheryl handles. I mean, just everything that she does as my wife and her pastor's wife and a woman and what she does, I mean, I think to myself, well, I get tired just thinking about what she does. And then having a baby, oh, Jesus, help us. She'll tell you, you know, when we're watching a program on television or something and there's a scene where a woman is, I just turn green and purple and I go into the other room. I just can't do that. But she's made to do that. And she did it well, twice. I mean, she got pregnant. Not sure how that happened, but anyway, no, I'm kidding. Got pregnant, Eddie, Sharina, going to the hospital. Bang! 10 minutes later, she comes out. Not exactly like that. I'm exaggerating, right? There was a reason, there was pain associated with it. We know that in Genesis story. But I'm glad I'm a man. I'm grateful that God made me who I am. And I think Cheryl could come up and say, I'm thankful that I am not my husband. I'm thankful I'm a woman. God had a purpose and a reason for making us the way we are. And God does not make mistakes. And I think in our day that we live, we need to understand the privilege that we have of being in God's image. So what is man, the psalmist would say, that you are mindful, that you would even visit him? It's the same question that Job asked in Job chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. It's interesting. We know about Job. We know Job was the one who suffered so greatly. If you're new to the faith or you're not quite sure about the Job story, basically, Job was a good guy, pretty well in all the land. He was just a really good guy, and he had some terrible things happen to him. He lost his children, lost his cattle, lost his friends, lost his wealth, even he lost his health, he had boils, and at some point even his wife came to him and said, "You fool, why don't you just curse God and die?" Kind of lost his wife's support, and he ends up with four friends really that sit around, and for a week they wait, and then after a while, they begin to figure out reasons that Job's going through this, and every one of them seemed to say it was Job's fault. And that's the book of Job. It's kind of depressing, but really, it ends really well, right? Because God restores to him everything that he lost, double actually. But in his first encounters with what had happened to him, look what he asks. Job 7:17. What is man? Same question. What is man that you should exalt him? That's what he did with Job. He exalted him. He had a lot of good things. He was well respected. That you should set your heart on him. Job felt like God had done that. God had set his heart toward Job. Just like we believe God has set his heart toward us. Jesus died on the cross of a broken heart, my friend. Medically, he died. His heart literally burst within him. That's why the water and blood flowed out of his side, because of a broken heart, literally a broken heart. You know why he died of a broken heart? Because he was carrying your sin and my sin to the cross. And it broke the heart of God. And Job said that you should set your heart on him. Who is man that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? And then the first line of verse 19 says, how long? Who is man that you would exalt him, set your heart on him, visit him, and test him? Who are we, Lord, that you would test us? Job was wrestling with that question of why does bad things happen to good people? It's the same thing that all of us wrestle with from one time or another. Last night, I was at a prayer meeting for Grace Family Church, and right as we were ending the prayer meeting, one of the members got a phone call, and I won't go into details, but it was on the news. A little 9-year-old girl was killed by a runaway car. And our heart went out to him. They're related to him, and we prayed for him. And as I walked out, I said, God, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Nobody has an answer for that. We can come up with some pat answers, but the truth is we wrestle with that. We struggle with that. We may never have an answer to that in this life, but we trust the God that we don't understand. Amen? And so that's what Job says. What is man? How long? Job's question really addresses this question. If I've been made a little lower than the angels, if I have dominion over the earth and all that, if I've been made in the image of God and I'm a good person, why do I have to struggle? That's what Job is saying. If I'm special to God, then why do I have to struggle? Well, the short answer to a long discussion is that down here, we are human beings and we are made of flesh. And we were never designed to live forever on this earth. Never. Originally, perhaps, but not after the fall. The one that lived the longest that we are aware of, according to the Bible, is Methuselah, who lived 969 years. Can you think of that? That's longer than America's been around. I don't know that I would want to live 969 years. It's a long time. But in this world, Jesus said it, you will have tribulation. We're going to have problems. We're not angels, we're not animals, but we're going to have problems. We're going to have challenges, we're going to have trials. But Jesus says, be of good courage, I have overcome the world. And Jesus promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering for that. Amen. Amen. I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to walk with you through everything you have to go through. Why? Because I love you. He proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's what communion is about. Jesus died for us. He died for men. He died for women. He died for mankind. He didn't die for the animals. He didn't die for the angels. He died for human beings just like you and I. That's how much he loves us. And you that are watching online, he loves you that much. And maybe you're sitting in your home or your car or somewhere down the week, you'll watch this and you'll wonder, does my life have purpose? I want to tell you right now, my friend, your life has a purpose. Your life is important to God. And I invite you to encourage you to reach out to someone who can help you. Don't pull the trigger. Don't take the pill. Don't use the knife. Don't use the needle. Turn to Jesus. He can bring purpose to your life and meaning to your life. Amen. Amen. Go to a hospital. Go to the emergency room. Talk to a nurse. Tell them what you're going through. They'll find someone that can help you. Find a church. Go to a pastor. Go to a trusted friend. Job tells us that even though we are made in the image of God, we still have problems and situations that come. And maybe you have those even right now. But in verse 19, Job said, how long? There's no answer to that. I don't know how long. But we know that God will be with us. Our tests, our trials, our sufferings, yes, we have them. What is man? We're made up of those things. But we also have hope, we have faith, and we have joy. And we have a way of escape, and that way is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. We cry sometimes, and we laugh sometimes. We're sad sometimes, and we're happy sometimes. The road is smooth sometimes, and then the road is rough sometimes. But we're on a journey. None of us are standing still. We are on a journey. And this earth is not my home. I'm just a passing through. There is a heaven prepared for those who love the Lord. Amen. And you say, well, good. When I get to heaven, I'll be an angel. No, no, you won't. I think he's made all the angels he's going to make. Now, your mom and dad may have called you little angel. One day, I remember some relative, I forget who they were, said, oh, look at little Eddie, he's an angel. And then I threw a tantrum like you wouldn't believe. And then I think I heard him whisper, he's a devil. No, when you get to heaven, you're going to be a human, but you'll have a different body. It'll never grow old. You'll have everlasting life, and you'll be happy there. And believe me, it is not an eternal choir practice unless you like eternal choir practices. For me, heaven is going to be a wonderful place, and for you, because God has prepared it for us. Amen? He's prepared heaven for those who follow him. And he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Tragically, not everyone will go to heaven. I'm sorry. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care how young or how old you are, if you accept Christ as your Savior, heaven is your home. Praise God. Follow Jesus. And lastly, John 19:5, it was Pilate who would say, behold the man. The psalmist said, what is man? Job said, what is man? But now we dive into the New Testament and Pilate says, behold the man, here he is. Here was Jesus standing there, arrested. They wanted him crucified. Pilate got him there, questioned him, couldn't find really any fault in him, but said, "Behold the man." And a few verses later, he says, "Behold your king." And his accuser said, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And the loud clang of the crucify crowd won the day. But really, they didn't win the day, because it was God's intention all along for Jesus to be crucified. Because the Old Testament prophesied that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus would go to the cross. He would die on the cross. He would be crucified for the sins of the world. It was John the Baptist who said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." As Jesus came to the waters to be baptized, he would get on the cross. He would say, "It is finished," and our sins would be forgiven and the curse would be lifted. They didn't crucify Jesus. He willingly went to the cross so we could have eternal life. Hallelujah. And that's what this little emblem packet represents: the body and the blood of Jesus. Behold the man. Behold the man. Behold the Savior. Behold the crucified one, the buried one, the resurrected one, and the coming one. Amen. Hallelujah. The coming one. In Revelation chapter 1, the last book of the Bible, you can truly say this morning, our pastor preached from Genesis to Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, we read these verses as we conclude. "Behold," verse 7, "he is coming with clouds." Praise God. He is Jesus. He is, John the Revelator said, he is coming, and he's coming with clouds. That's why we in the Northwest will see him first. That's right. "He is coming with clouds, and listen, every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." And then Jesus speaks and says, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Jesus is the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And he is coming again. He's coming again. You say, we've heard that for years. We've heard it for years. You may have heard it for years, but take it to the bank. He is coming again. He may not come in my lifetime, or he may. He could come tomorrow. He could come this afternoon. He could come before I'm done preaching, and you'd be glad, wouldn't you? He is coming again, and we don't know when, but he's coming. And who is he coming for? He's coming for a church without spot and wrinkle. He's coming for people that have accepted it. He's coming to bring judgment to this world, yes, but he's coming to bring reward to those who have followed him. He is coming to fulfill his promises that if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He will keep his promise. What is man that he would even fool with us? Why doesn't Jesus just say, "You know, they've just fouled things up so much, just, Father, send a big meteor." But no, he's coming back for us because he loves us. Men and women created in the image of God. You say, "Well, what about those who have died and gone before?" Well, they've gone before. They'll come with him. Amen. They'll come with him and he'll come riding in. And if we're alive when that happens, we'll look and we'll see him. And then one of the most fantastic things in all of creation will happen. It will drive Sir Isaac Newton crazy. He will eliminate gravity, and we will be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering for that promise today. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. If you're able, physically lift your hand to the Lord and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the coming of the Lord. Behold, he is coming on the clouds. Behold, we will see him. Every eye will see him. Behold, hallelujah, he's coming. What is man that you're mindful of him, Lord? Thank you that you are mindful of us, that you visit us, that you are with us, that you strengthen us. And we lift our hand to you or our heart to you and say, thank you for creating us in your image. Thank you, O God, for loving us. Thank you for helping us through the difficult times of life. Thank you for promising us eternal life. Thank you for dying for us on the cross. Thank you for giving your life for us, O Jesus. We love you and we thank you. And we say with the Revelator, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. But until you come, we will occupy. We will pray. We will fast. We will read the Word. We'll love. We'll forgive. We'll reach out. We'll touch lives for Christ, Lord. And we thank you for that privilege, because you have made us mankind and we are grateful you love us. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 All right. God bless you. Thanks for coming. We'll appreciate seeing everyone and look forward to next Sunday services, if not before. God bless you. Remember, man, no Tuesday Bible study this week. Staff will be at retreat. God bless you all.